It is time again for our weekly segment, which is focused on the Institute of Agriculture and Natural Resources at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. Our guest today is Vice President, Vice Chancellor Mike Boehm. Mike, collaboration, whether it's with community groups, state and federal agencies, advocacy groups, or other universities, seems to be a critical part of IANR projects. You and I often discuss that. And today we're going to be continuing doing that, highlighting a few examples of some recent collaborations. So let's begin here. The University of Nebraska-Lincoln was part of a team that recently launched a new fertilizer management tool. What's that all about?
Yeah, Bryce, thanks. Earlier this, I guess it was January, February, UNL launched a really neat phone-based, digital-based tool for looking at nitrogen fertilizer on corn in particular. And just this last week, a group of over 100 soil scientists and agronomists from not-for-profits, from the private sector, as you mentioned, the USDA Ag Research Service, and nearly 50 university scientists, including the University of Nebraska, launched the Fertilizer Recommendation Support Tool, the FRST. I'm just going to refer to it as the FIRST tool. So this is pretty cool. It too, like our nitrogen tool, is a web-based tool that provides really important and critical phosphorus and potassium soil test values, which provide and indicate whether there is any expected yield increase that might come from additional phosphorus or potassium fertilizer application. So gives folks a baseline upon which they can make these important and economically important fertilizer tool recommendations. Just to give you a little bit of an idea of this, the tool includes data from nearly 2,500 phosphorus and potassium trials for 21 major agricultural crops. Big time. 21 major crops, 2,500 studies that looked at the use of phosphorus and potassium. A lot of work, as you might imagine, here in the Midwest on corn and soybeans. It also includes a map of the U.S. that shows the location of phosphorus and potassium trials that are represented in the database so that producers, co-op partners, can go and take a look and engage the scientists that actually did that work. Think about our Nebraska Extension on-farm research platform on steroids, I think. Currently, the tool is really used for two things. The first one by the scientists that contributed is to identify the need for additional gaps or additional research that fill gaps. That's number one. And of course, number two, this is a tool that is available to producers to really dial in and think about their phosphorus and their potassium rate fertilizer rates when it comes to their next crop. So I think this is a win. Again, we talked about it last week, a win-win and a win. Just a good example of the highly collaborative work that happens across universities, government, private sector, in hand with our producer.
Sounds like a valuable tool and a lot of hands to make that possible. Along those same lines, Mike, earlier this week, understand IANR hosted a national meeting of beef researchers. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I wish I could have been there. Derek McLean, our Dean of the Ag Research Division, Mark Bogus, the Director of the U.S. Meat Animal Research Center, and a whole slew of researchers from USDA, but also from all over the region, and in fact the country, all convened at the Eastern Nebraska Research Extension and Education Center, or NREC, in Meade, 45 minutes up the road from where we're sitting today. And it was all focused on the future of beef research. Those in attendance included geneticists, meat scientists, ruminant nutrition experts, rangeland specialists, soil scientists, and even a couple of dairy experts from across the country, given the linkage now when we think about back crossing with dairy cattle. This meeting was really a first step, I would say, in bringing together scientists from this wide array of different institutions with different backgrounds, different perspectives, all to kind of hone in and look at the issues that are best addressed through this kind of a collaborative network. It was really a spectacular opportunity to advance beef research.
Can you share some of the examples?
Yeah, I will. I mean, one of the areas that we work a lot on here in Nebraska is a concept called GEMS. GEMS stands for genetics, environment, management, and society. And so when we think about really any part of agriculture, especially this last week when we were thinking about beef research, really thinking about exactly what those letters stand for, the genetics of our national beef herd, how important genetics are. Last week I was also had an opportunity to take a couple of folks around, VIPs around, and we were talking about, they didn't know much about beef production, but just thinking about how beef cattle graded 20, 30 years ago, maybe sitting at 40% choice, and now we're almost at 90% choice. That's better living through genetics. The environment, of course, how critical that is when you think about the genetics. Different animals do better under different environmental conditions. Our management, the genetics and environment out on a cow-calf operation in the Sandhills going to look very different than steers on feed at a commercial feed yard. And then, of course, societal impacts. We sure hear a lot about environmental stewardship and sustainability. And, of course, I think ranchers and farmers are the original conservationists, but marketing, global dynamics, in global beef markets, all of these types of things were on the table this last week. No question about that. I think what this really does for beef production is thinking about and stretching our understanding, our holistic understanding of all the aspects of these different types of research efforts and how collectively they end up advancing beef systems here in the U.S. and well beyond. Matt Spangler, one of our renowned world-class geneticists here at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln Institute of Ag and Natural Resource, Matt pulled me aside another time during the week and just remarked that this gathering of scientists and this focus on GEMS is so inherently collaborative. In fact, he said that the issues that researchers are working on today absolutely require this unprecedented level of collaboration. And I couldn't agree with him more. He's spot on that front.
Sounds like a good event there as well, Mike. Busy week, as always, when it comes to the things that IANR is involved in. We appreciate you making some time for this program. And as a reminder for our listeners, keep up with all the things we're talking about today and other IANR matters. Visit ianr.unl.edu. Here on the Rural Radio Network, I'm Brian Stuskett reporting.